You can turn to Luke 15, please. I wanted to share a little bit on forgiveness today. Not that I think any of you need forgiving, but that we all need forgiveness. But we got a great God, like he just said, and being forgiven and knowing that we're forgiven for whatever makes it a lot easier to live this life. So Luke 15, and we're going to basically read this whole chapter for a bit. We'll start in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now, did it say when he findeth it, did he scold him and say, what happened? Why did you get lost? Why did you run away? No, it's just a wonderful little mind picture there of he hath found it and layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He rejoiced at the return of that one little lost sheep. Even though the sheep might have messed up a little bit and gone astray, he still loved it and rejoiced about it and found it. In verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And that's what God does for us. When we get lost or we go astray and we come back, he rejoices. He loves us. He takes care of us. And then it goes on. Verse 6, and when he cometh, 7, sorry. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So there's great joy in that repentance, and there's great joy because we've been forgiven for anything we do. You know, we just got to go to God and ask for that forgiveness, and he does it every time. Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And we know the great reference of that, those 10 pieces of silver, they were very, very important there. Where even if one of them was lost, it was a big deal. And then to find that one, just like the lost sheep, is a big deal to rejoice in. Seek diligently till she find it, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And there it is again. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner that's been forgiven by God, that we have great rejoicing. And it keeps going on. Verse 11, and a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them just to the one son. No. He had the 2 sons, but he gave them both the portion, no questions asked, gave them their inheritance. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Not the best way to go about using your inheritance. And when he had spent all, and you know what that all means? All. Every bit of it, nothing left. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And that want also means just to be inferior, to feel inferior, to suffer need. And this is, you know, God knew what he was doing when he was writing this, because that happens to people all the time. When we feel inferior, that we suffer need, And he's there to pull us out, always. So it goes on. I mean, you know, we've all read this before a million times, but it's just such a wonderful record. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And that word fain is interesting. It means to lust after. He would lust after it would meant so much for him to eat, to be sustained, to be taken care of, that he would even lust after the junk that the swine would eat, which isn't very good. So he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, now he's starting to think. He's starting to figure stuff out. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Well, it's about time you thought of that, pal. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And this is the thing that, another great example, he was thinking through his head how he could bargain with his father. His father, who he knew he loved him, but he still knew that he did wrong, and he was trying to make a deal, trying to bargain with him. And then this is how loving the father, the example of a father is. And we have a great example of a father. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father what? Saw him. His father was looking for him. That's the example. His father was looking for that young man to come back to the fold. He was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That word compassion is just wonderful. It's compassion to feel the bowels yearn. And that's just like a deep compassion that the father had for the son that was astray. And he still had it for his other son too. But anyway, he had compassion and ran to him because he wanted to rejoice with him. And as it goes on, we'll see. He fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The example of that father didn't even let the kid get his little speech out, because he was already ready and willing and able to forgive. And that's a great example to us in our daily life. And it goes on. 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And that word merry is great. That word merry is in a good frame of mind. What a great mind picture that is, too. To be in a great, merry, good frame of mind that someone that was lost is back again. Now, he has to deal with the other guy. 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And sound means healthy, sound health, uncorrupt, true back in true doctrine, the doctrine of a wonderful father. Basically, he was back to thinking right. And Verse 28, and he, the other son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. What a great mind picture that is. To deal with the other son that was feeling left out. What do you call it? Just not in the fold or again, but feeling like he was dissed. But he came out and he entreated him, lovingly took care of him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And the father's loving reply is, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You could have had this any time you wanted. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So there, what a great example of a loving, forgiving father that just wants to take care of his kid. In Isaiah, you can turn there. Chapter 1. Isaiah 1, and this is really in verse 18. A great, another example of forgiveness. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So what a great mind picture that is. Though our sins are they stand out, but because of God's forgiveness, they will be white as snow. They will be totally demolished, totally gone. They start off, you know, the sins are ugly, they're crappy when we do it, but because of God's forgiveness, they're gone. They're totally cleansed. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. And in verse 13 and 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. I should have read 13 first, though.
That you said.
Yeah. And you, verse 30, sorry. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you some of your trespasses.
No.
All. That word all means every single one of them. Pretty simple. That was extensive research on that. Forgiven you all your trespasses, and it says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, blotting out to smear, to obliterate, so God doesn't have to see them and we don't have to see them, which was contrary to us and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So because of all Christ did for us and for God, we don't have to live in any kind of sin consciousness. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, all that Christ accomplished for us. And that word justified means what? Just as if I never sinned. But I looked it up a little more and it says, to free a man from his guilt, to be judged innocent. You know, where we can be free from guilt. And then Not only that, it says by our believing, by faith, by the right way and all of that stuff, wonderful stuff, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And peace is what? The opposite of strife. So if you want to get rid of strife in your life, we keep going to God and believing that we've been forgiven for the things we've done, and we can have the opposite of strife. And not only does that peace mean that, but it means prosperity and rest. And that's the way to live life. That's the way you live life to the fullest without all the junk holding us back. In 1 John chapter 3, turn there. First John 3:20. We'll start in verse 20 till 22. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is what?
Greater
than our heart, and knoweth all things." So that word condemn means to find fault, blame. If our heart blames us, we have the perfect solution, right? We have God. God is greater than that heart of ours. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, that's a good thing. Then we have confidence toward God. And that confidence is boldness, frankness, assurance, where we can go to God with anything, with great boldness, and not be sheepish about it. So we go, but it's confidence towards God that we got to do, not confidence in the world and the things the world thinks they're so good at. And in verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments." We read his word, we go to his word, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And one of the things that are pleasing in his sight is not to condemn ourselves, not to have that sin consciousness on ourselves, because he doesn't want it there. He wants us to live in great peace, in great comfort with him. You can go to Proverbs 14. Actually, you don't have to go there, but that's the one where it says where the... let's go there. Proverbs 14. And in verse 742. Proverbs 14. And in verse 4, it says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." So my interpretation of that verse is we're always better together, even though we're messy, even though, you know, we do sin and do wrong to each other and to God. It's always good to get things straightened out, go to God, and always ask for his forgiveness so that we can have peace instead of all the little messy stuff here with the oxen do. And we're always better together. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. And in verses 12, we'll start. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, even when in the messes. We can forbear one another and forgiving one another. For if any man have a quarrel, a fault, find a fault against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity," which is what? "Bond of perfectness, which is also the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation," which is the greatest love of all that anyone can have. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful." And then it goes on and on, but let the peace of God rule in that heart. And the way One of the ways we can let that peace rule is by not being tied down to sin and to knowing that we've been forgiven and that we can forgive each other. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll just read 31 and 32. It says, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So that forgiving one another cleans up those icky messes that we go through, that we have in our lives. That for great forgiveness that God gave to us and we can do for each other. In Proverbs 17, in verse 9. It says, he that covereth a transgression or a sin seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. And I saw one little translation of this, or I don't know what you call it, but it says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. So in our lives, we don't want to concentrate on the faults or the misgivings of people, but we want to concentrate on love and forgiveness. And then it won't separate people. In Psalm 130, in verses 3 and 4, it says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who, O Lord, who will stand? Could you imagine that, if he kept marking our iniquities, our shortcomings? But, verse 4, thank God, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared or respected or just in awe of our Heavenly Father. And then lastly, here in Psalm 86, and verses 1 through 5. Actually, we'll probably read a little more, but bow down thy knee by thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. So we got a great God that we can call on any time to ask for forgiveness, to ask for just all the wonderful things that we know in his word.